You don't need to answer it, though. If the Lord tarries and Jesus doesn't come before we pass away, how would you like to be remembered? Well, you know, I don't want to be remembered as a crabby old person, you know, that, oh Lord, that was stingy, didn't help anyone. But, you know, how would you like to be remembered? You know, well, as a person that was a person of prayer, you know, a person that helped people, a person that cared about people, a person that that did whatever they could for someone. But how would you like to be remembered? You know, you might say, well, Pastor, why are you asking this question? Because you see, if the Lord tarries and we die, you can't change anything after that. You can't change anything. You know, it's an amazing thing, and I know we've all been there, when you go to funerals and you know about that person that's in that casket, and as that preacher's talking, you're thinking, he's not talking about him or her. You're thinking, they have it all wrong, because they were saying, you know them that's in there, and you know their life was not that good, and you know the things they did and said and stuff. But how would you like to be remembered is the question. Do you want them to remember you as a person that studied the Word of God and lived a life to the best of your ability, holy and pure before your God? Would you like to be remembered as a man or a woman of God that spent time with Him, where people saw you taking time with people and helping and doing all the things that were necessary to be a kind-hearted person, and not so much just kind, but a godly person towards this generation? How would you like to be remembered? Saints, the saints such as Abraham and Moses and David and Peter and Paul have inspired believers throughout the ages. Each of them, although imperfect, and we know that from looking at their lives, is an amazing example of what the Lord can do through hearts that are truly committed to Him. Do we want to be like these people? A person who honors God wholeheartedly. I know I mentioned Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, and Paul. And we can look at all aspects of their lives and we see many things that they did were not right. But we also see many things that they did that were right. And we remember how they had a heart for God. How they had a heart for Him, wanting to see God move in their generation. How hard you think it was for Paul, not one of the disciples, but Paul, a great man of God, that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, go up to Peter, who was one of the 12 elect, to his face, and you can read it in the account of the Word of God, and tell him, you're wrong. My God. We look at Peter as the foundation of the church. Some look at him as the rock of the church. And we have a man that once tried to destroy Christians, where God mightily moved in his life. And it says that a great move of God came upon him and changed Paul's life. And Paul, knowing the scriptures, went up to Peter and told him he was wrong on the account that he was talking about. And it's in Scripture. Because Peter was looking at things from a Jewish point of view and not the whole picture. Where God said, when He said, look, take those animals and eat. Which was talking about clean animals and dirty animals that He talked about. And He was saying that salvation is for all and not just the Jewish people. And Paul said, God will stand before you and He will tell you that it's for all people salvation. And not just for a certain sect of people. How to be remembered. We have an excellent example. The Bible says that King David followed God with all of his heart. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. King David followed God with all of his heart. Acts 13, verse 22, it says, "And when he," talking about God, "had removed him," talking about Saul, "who was king, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." The core of David was that he was a man after God's own heart. We need to be people that have a heart for God. Not a heart for religion. Not a heart for laws. But a heart for God. It says that David, in Scripture, it says that David had a heart for him and him alone. And it says something amazing at the end of that verse. It says that he, starting with verse 23, it says the bottom part, he's the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. And he says this, and God says this about David, which shall fulfill all my will. That's an amazing statement. We know the Word of God, it was inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. And these men pinned down the Word of God as the Spirit of God came upon them. And it says this, the latter part of that verse, after he says that David is a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will, talking about the Father's will. People, let me tell you, God could trust David. He had a heart for God, and God knew that he would fulfill all his will upon the earth. You might say, well, did David make some mistakes? Well, we know what they are. Yes, he did. There was even a time where David, for 16 months, didn't serve God. You can read it in Scripture. Where he went to another land and actually fought against God's people. And God, by the Spirit of God, reined him in and took him back. That's just like us. How many times have we fallen away from God and didn't trust Him in certain areas of our life? How many times have we served Him with everything and all of a sudden something happens and we turn our hearts and our face from Him? And the mercy of God grabs us back because He knows how we are as humanity. He grabbed David back because he knew inside of him, deep within his heart, that he had a heart for him. He knows us too, that we have a heart after him, that we have given our hearts to him. He's come in and saved our hearts and souls and put the Spirit of the living God in us. And God is moving in us. And He knows the heartaches and the pains and the sufferings and the things that we got to go through sometimes just as human beings. But also He knows that they're deep within our hearts, deep within our souls, deep within our bodies where God lives in us. That we want to do what God wants us to do. And He said that of King David, that He will fulfill all of my will. What he was saying is, I trust David. He'll do it. And honestly, people, I know we kind of think of ourselves sometimes not too highly. But God looks at each and every one of us because we've given our hearts to Him. And He's saying, they will do my will. And let me tell you, God's will is not easy sometimes. Honestly, God's will is hard sometimes. Because you see, God calls us to do something and the power of God is in us to do it. But yet you have all these other things of self, number one, of the evil out there, number two, and people out there. And it gets hard sometimes. But you see, we have to do like David did. The good aspects of his life. Constantly go before God. Constantly get with God. Constantly get filled with His Spirit on a daily basis. Asking God to move in our hearts and giving us direction. My God, the Spirit of the living God. Look, the other day I was coming home from work and I said, Lord, I just praise You. I just praise You, Lord. I just thank You for who You are. You know, just constantly praying in the Spirit, praying and asking God. Look, I felt the presence of the Lord come into that car like never before. And he gave me some direction that I needed. And I said, Father, thank you. Thank you. That's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit of God coming in when we don't know what to do. When we don't know what direction to take. When we don't know where to go. When we're hitting a wall and we're saying, Lord, the wall is tall. I can't climb it. I can't go underneath it. I can't go through it. But Father, you can remove this wall if you do it. I know you can do it. And God comes in and transforms us in the meantime. And all of a sudden, as He transforms us and works on the inside of us, God gets rid of the wall that is standing before us. A heart for Him. And I know God has moved upon your hearts and upon your lives, doing things that I don't even know of. But I know as I trust in Him that the power of His Spirit is moving in your heart and in your life, raising up a people that will change this world for the kingdom of God. You might say, in this place, why not? Why not? For the kingdom of God to change this world? Look, people, I can't share with you right now, but I'm telling you, there's some things that God's going to require of us to do that will shake this world from this place. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And you're saying, this place? Yes, this place. Us? Yes, us. You, Pastor? Yes, thank God. Amen. And look forward to next year, people. What's going to go on? It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some faith, but God's going to move. It's going to take us believing, but God is going to move. It's going to take us standing upon the Word of God, but God's going to move. It's going to take us to believe God, but God's going to do it. God's going to do it, I'm telling you. And even in our personal lives, God moving upon us like never before. I've often told people, I said, we're in revival. And people say, you're in revival? Yes, we are. Our people are becoming alive by the Spirit of God, not by man's methods of being moved by evil spirits on the outside, but the power of the presence of God coming into our hearts and changing us. I've never been more excited about the things of God than I am today, people. I've been excited about the things of God, but there's a transformation that is happening upon in our lives, Jelaine and I, like never before. And He's changing us and making us into what He wants to be, to move upon our lives, to change this world for the kingdom of God. And we just got to keep believing. We got to keep on pressing in and asking God to move like never before. A heart for God. A heart for God will change this world, people. A heart for God, God will use you like never before to touch people like never before. My God, yes, God is looking for a people that will believe upon beyond measure, that will believe in faith, Lord. You know, there's many things that God will want us to do and for you to do individually. But it's going to take our faith to believe it and to stand upon it. And say, okay, Lord. You know, they're gonna say, can any good thing come out of Gaydon? Yes, it can. And Captain, and Gaydon, and Vermilion Parish. Praise God. Praise God. What God is doing, a transformation, a moving of His Spirit on the inside of us, a moving of His Spirit in you, in your life, and in your heart, that as you stand, you will believe God for the miraculous. And it won't be anything we've done, basically, but it will only be in who we trust, in the finished work of what Christ has done at Calvary's cross. As we trust in what He did, He moves beyond measure upon our hearts and in our churches and in our lives and in our communities, people. Man can't do it, but God can do it. A heart after God like David had. Praise God, praise God. His will. How can we know if we are following God with all of our hearts? Number one, the priority of our life is our personal relationship with the Lord. The priority of our life is our personal relationship with the Lord. A person after God's heart will make his or her relationship with Him a top priority. David had an overwhelming love and respect for Scripture because it taught him how to draw closer to the Father. Look at Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. Our personal relationship with Him, people. It says this. Is that 15 and 16? Yeah, okay. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. Remember, that's King David. He's saying this. I will meditate. You know what meditation means? That means to read it and to read it over. And to read it, and as you read it, to get it in your mind and to meditate upon that word. You know, let's do the most familiar scripture ever known to man, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Meditating on that word. You know, when we think, well, nobody loves us, we meditate upon the word, for God so loved the world. Or you can put this, for God so loved, and put your name in it, Joseph. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that if I believeth in Him, I will not perish and split hell wide open, but I will have what? Everlasting life. That's the meditate upon His spirit. That's what David did. And have respect unto thy ways. You know, there's Christians that don't respect God's ways. Let me say, how do you know that? God says, don't forsake the assemblings of yourself. What He's saying is, get to church. That's everyday language. Get to church. Now, I know there's some, yeah, look, you work offshore, you can't come to church. I mean, okay, yeah. Hey, man, where you at? Telly, it's good to see you here. I want to tell you that early, and I'm here, you know, I'm preaching. I'm looking at her again. I'm thinking of her husband working. That, hey, I text him during the week. I understand, but text him. And have respecting him. That means get to church, people. Now, if you're sick, I understand that. You know, if you're on vacation, I understand that. But get to church. Because you see, God knows we need to come together, gain strength from one another. Let the power and the presence of God come into a place. And that we can be strengthened by Him. And we go out there to meet that world and saying, Father, You're with me. God says, give. The Bible says to give 10% of your income to your home church. We think we know God. I've had people tell me, well, I help all kinds of people. And I said, that's not right, though. Your 10% doesn't go to helping everybody. That is not correct. And man, they get mad. They get angry. What they're saying is, my way is better than what God says. That's not truth. You might say, well, Pastor, you're saying that because you need money? We don't need money. We have money. I want you blessed, and I want to be blessed. So we give because God says to do it. And when we do God's will, He comes in and blesses His people. God says what? We're to study the Word of God. He says, study to show yourself, to show us approved unto Him. Study, that's in Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto me. It just doesn't say read. It doesn't just say read it, which we need to read. But it says study it. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know that, huh? Just finished school. There's a reading, and that's important, but to study it. It goes a little deeper in depth into what the Scriptures are saying. You might say, how do you study? You read it. You look up words you don't understand. You look up things according to the Word of God. You get different aspects upon the Scriptures. You find out what it says. Because it's doing something in you. His ways are not our ways sometimes. And so we got to know His ways. And I would delight myself in thy statutes. Oh, Lord. And what he says is right and wrong. And I will not forget thy word. How many times God has shown you a scripture and you'll say, I'll never forget that scripture. And lo and behold, in 6 months, you don't know where that scripture's at. Let's all raise our hands and feet because we know that's all of us. How he, the Spirit of God just, I mean, it was in us. And we said, oh, we'll never forget. And buddy, 6 months to a year, we don't know where it's at. We're trying to quote it. You know, it's out of line. We don't know. I mean, it's just, you got to remind yourself of that word, saying, Father, thank you for that word. Getting it in us so that we don't forget the word of God. We don't forget that God stands for life from the beginning and life to the end. It doesn't matter what the world says or man says about killings. Never kill a baby from the beginning. That's not right. And you never killed an elderly euthanasia in the end. Never. God gives life and God takes it away. It's up to Him how He wants to do it. His precepts. Another scripture. Look at verse 105 of that same chapter. 119:105. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Can you imagine? That's why. You know what's an amazing thing? You're doing great, people. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you. You have your Bibles. You want to know how many churches today they tell them don't bring your Bible? You want to know how many churches today you go to, and I know we don't know this too much, where they won't even mention the name of Jesus? It's supposed to be Spirit-filled. Doesn't matter. Won't mention the name of Jesus. And lo and behold, they'll never mention the cross. You know, anybody goes to football games? Yeah. I mean, you know, we like our teams, huh? You know. Might be, you know, Kaplan team, Gaydon, it could, you know, like LSU or UL you might like, or, you know, whatever sports. It could be more than just, but when you get there or whatever, or you watching it on TV, whatever your favorite team is, you know, if I'm watching LSU, okay, you're going to, LSU, yeah, LSU, you know, you just, yeah, LSU, you know, the Tigers, yeah, you know, just, you are trying to pump them up, even though they can't hear you from the TV, but if you're at the games, hopefully they can hear you, okay, you're cheering for them. How sad should it be that people walk in churches and they don't cheer the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus, or the Father, or the Holy Spirit? Oh, they don't lift up the cross of Calvary. That's why we're here, because of the cross. No other reason. That's it. The liberty and the freedom. How much should we cheer on Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How can we be champions of the church upon the earth when it's never mentioned? How sad is that? How sad is that? Should be championed for it. But our personal relationship to the Lord, people, a heart for God, number one, the priority of our life is our personal relationship to Him. He often sought God, talking about David, in prayer for strength, wisdom, and the Father's wonderful presence. Our personal relationship to the Father. People, look, and I'm going to stay here a little bit. Take time with the Father. And hey, I know every one of us in here, I'm included, we're busy. We're busy. I know that. We have our work. We have our home life. We have things our kids are in. We have stuff that's always happening. But I tell you what, the first priority needs to be our relationship to Him, a personal relationship with Him. We got to take time to read His statutes and His ways. We got to take time to get this in us. It'll keep us what? On the right path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know why Christians can do so many horrible things? We think, my God, that's not God. Because the light has been shunned away. The light of their feet has been trampled upon and it's in the back of them now. But you see, if we keep the light of God's Word, it becomes a lamp unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our what? Path. Thank you. See, you're good. You're reading your Bibles. Amen. Just keep the Bible in front of you, people. Just keep it in front. It gives us light for our feet. That means wherever we go, spiritually and physically, it gives us light. It gives us light to see far above in the future. It gives us light. We need the light. Without the light, there's darkness. And with darkness becomes what? Calamity upon our spirit and our souls. It's a light unto us. Your personal relationship, grab onto this word. Take time to pray. Take some time. Take some time to get alone with God and talk with Him. I don't care if you got to get in your car and ride around by yourself, but take some time. Speak to Him. Let Him speak to you and give you direction. Praise Him a little bit. Let the anointing fill you up. And you're ready to do God's will. Your personal relationship to Him. Number two, we place our trust in the Lord when facing trials and difficulties. We know we have a heart after God when we place our trust in the Lord when facing trials and difficulties. David trusted God no matter what hardship he faced. While the rest of Israel's warriors cowered before Goliath, terrifying 9-foot frame, David was outraged by how the Philistines dishonored God's name. Throughout his life, he endured extraordinary challenges with great confidence that the Lord would help him. Because of David's faith and leadership, Israel prospered in a manner unsurpassed to this day. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 and 46. David, through trials, through difficulties, faced God and let Him do a mighty work. It says this, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom has defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." Stop right there. Before it happened, David spoke it. Before it happened, David spoke it. He trusted God because he had a heart after God. Even through difficulties and hardships, as David was there and old Goliath came out 9-foot tall and cursed the God of Israel, cursed God. When he got himself together, he looked and he saw no one was standing up to this thing or man. And he got up and he said, "I will cut your head off and you will fall before me." That was even before it happened, people. Because you know why he could say that? Because God put it in him. And he knew the fate of that Goliath, it would fall. Throughout difficult times and heartaches, people, and difficulties, we need to remember those things that come up may be like a 9-foot giant. And it may look tall and it's howling out accusations and things. But let me tell you, in the hands of God, when He comes upon the scene and He speaks to your heart and your mind, that 9-foot giant will fall and the Word of God will cut his head off and it will bow before the King of Kings because you have put it in the hands of God. So those difficult times and problems, when they come, you look to Him and saying, "Lord, my heart is for You and You alone. And Father, I will trust You that You will slay this giant in my heart and in my life that is before me." No matter what it is, it could be a health problem, it could be finances, it could be whatever it is. But it will fall before God as we trust in Him, because our heart is for our God and Him alone. Number three, following God with all our heart. Number three, we have a strong, passionate desire to obey God. 1 Samuel 24:6, talking about David. 1 Samuel 24:6. It says, "And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. He didn't. We know the people rose up and put Saul as king, not God. And it caused great problems. But because he was in that place of authority, David would not raise up his sword against. And God calls the anointed of God, but he was never really anointed by God, because he wasn't placed there by God. David was supposed to be the first king. That's why we got to make sure we make sure that we have God first in our hearts. Because sometimes, you know, God, with decisions, we got to make sure that it's what God wants. I've seen people make decisions as they come talk to me about things, and I know it's not the right path, but their minds are already made up. And I never try to talk them out of it, whatever they decide to do. But I know it's the wrong path. I know it. And God will allow things to happen to bring us back on that right path of whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. We got to allow God to work and to move and to keep us on that straight and narrow path before Him. A heart for Him, people. A heart for Him. A heart for Him like David had. A heart for Him. As a man after God's own heart, David delighted in accomplishing the Lord's will. His obedience wasn't most motivated by the fear of sin's consequences. Rather, it was David's trust and love for God that led him to submit wholly to the Lord. So you see, we should always obey our Father, because we trust Him, and number two, we love Him. Not because we fear, and I know there's a holy fear, but a fear of, oh Lord, what's going to happen to me? No. We obey Him because we trust Him. And as we trust Him, we love the Father. So when He speaks things to our hearts, we want to obey Him and do what He says to do, because we have a heart for God. We demonstrate a spirit of humility when we trust Him and put our faith in Him. David had many reasons to be proud. He was a handsome man, it says in Scripture. He was a skilled musician. He was the Lord's anointed ruler. And he's a trumpet warrior and a national hero. Do you think he could have been proud? I mean, can you imagine a warrior? Can you imagine a man that was a skilled musician? Can you imagine a man that was handsome like he was, anointed by God, and a national hero? But he did not let pride set in. That old flesh we got to worry about. But you see, as we stay before Him daily, we stay humble before Him. Because we always are thinking, Lord, without You, this could never have been possible. Never. But when there's no humility, we say, Lord, I could have done it probably. No, You can't. Humble before Him. humble before Him. And this is the last one. A heart for God. We demonstrate a spirit of a servant. When he was young, David accepted his father's authority and obediently tended sheep. As a worker in Saul's house, David offered his very best to the king, including his musical talents and skills as a military leader. Finally, David served the people of Israel wholeheartedly as their king. In every instance, he was a dedicated, faithful servant of God. We have to keep a spirit of a servanthood. Servanthood. I'll share this with you. You know, some pastors think of their people as slaves. That's not right. That they're to do what I say to do and don't question or ask anything. The biggest servant in any church should be the pastor. Not that that doesn't mean he has to do everything, because there's no way. No. But a servant's heart to serve. A servant's heart to serve. Just if, what do you think would have happened? And I'm going to be closing in a minute. If Jesus would have turned to the Father and said, I'm not going to die for those people, where would we be today? Jesus, as he's sitting next to the Father, and the Father says, Son, there's no other way. There are three but one. And the Son, just for us to see, turns to the Father and says, Father, I'll go. He takes off his garment of pure gold and lays it aside. He takes off his rings of authority, because a king always has rings, and puts them aside. He takes off the crown that makes him king and puts it aside. And the Father says, it's time. And he goes, born of a virgin, becomes a carpenter on the earth, and then later dies on the cross. A person without humility, a God, I need to say it this way, without humility, had to lay aside his Godhead and say, I'll do it for the people. And came and served. We often say this, Jesus is our example. We have to have a servant's heart. Be willing. That doesn't mean we have to. We have to be willing to do some things that we may not want to do, or think there's no glory in it. That doesn't mean we have to do it, but have a servant's attitude and a servant's heart of helping people. And not thinking, I'm the King of Kings, you serve me. And he had all right to do it. He had all rights to do it. The humility of our Lord and his servanthood, our example. Is he to be willing to lay down our arrogance at times, even our pride of who we are, and to be able to have that servant's attitude towards the Father and towards people? Do you desire to mirror God's heart and to influence those around you for good? We need to be wise to follow David's example. The Lord's top priority for us is that we trust Him and we obey Him in everything. It's kind of like, is it that hard for us to just trust Him and obey Him? It seems easy, huh? It seems, when you put it in that aspect of thing, it seems easy. But yet, it is hard sometimes. We're to trust Him. It says, trust Him with all of our hearts. To trust Him. And it says, He will make our path straight. And to obey Him. Obey Him. Because you see, what God looks at in each and every one of us, everyone, myself, is the condition of our hearts. That's what He looks at. The thing that He moves on the most is the condition of our hearts. Making sure that it's right before Him. Making sure that there aren't things in it that are hindering the power of God from moving. So He's so interested in that part. And I use this because that's where our physical heart is basically here. But that's where we know God, we think of God living in us. He's more concerned about who we are on the inside. And this isn't a shock to you, than who we are on the outside. Man is more concerned about who we are on the outside than who we are on the inside. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of things on the outside. No. And God is concerned about how we look and how we present ourselves. But you see, God's more concerned about what's in us. Because you know why? That's the true person of who we are. If we have unforgiveness and it's not easy not to have unforgiveness sometimes. I'm telling you. It gets rough. But I tell you what, each time, just go before Him and say, Father, I can't carry this. I don't know what to do, but Father, I give it to You. And Lord God, You handle it and take care of my heart. And you get in the Scriptures and you say, Father, I trust You. Because you see, He's interested in the heart of us. Our hearts before Him. Our hearts. He's not interested in your checkbook so much. That's important. He's not interested in where you live so much. And that's important to Him. What He's interested in above anything else is the heart of who we are. That's why He instituted communion, one aspect of it, so that we can come before Him and ask forgiveness. And remember what He did at Calvary's cross. My God, all turning back to Him, trusting in Him. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Thank you for allowing me to go over just a little bit. I appreciate your willingness. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank You, Lord. Father, we just thank You, Lord God, for today. Father, thank You. Praise unto You, Father. How great You are, Lord. How great You are, Father. Lord God, we give You praise and we give You honor this day. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to Him today, or you're saying, Father, Pastor, I've gone away from Him and I need to come back, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. Father, I thank You that every person's heart is right before You this day. And Father, I thank You for a mighty move upon the spirit of Your children like never before, Father. Lord God, I thank You that, Lord, as many of them as we will have to make decisions this week. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would show them exactly what to do at the right timing and the right place in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, as we are all at work, that You would give us wisdom beyond measure as we are working with our hands, we're working in our businesses, we're working in doing, that You will give us wisdom and You will show us what to do, Lord God. And You will help everything we do to be very, very productive in Jesus' name. That, Father, as people come and say, "My God, what You have done," that we will look to them and we will say, "Look, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has helped us and went before us." And Father, I pray for the peace of God upon each and every one of our hearts and lives this week, Lord, that You will help us to do Your will and accomplish Your will. And Father, I pray most of all right now, Lord, that You will help us to have special time with You this week. And Father, I come against the enemy. Thou try to snatch that time away in Jesus' name. That we will submit to the Spirit of the living God in Jesus' name like never before, Father. Let Your Spirit and Your anointing would rest upon each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, I want to tell you that we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray, Jelaine and I, that you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen.